Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Back, and I have my coffee. I feel whole again.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Not, you got your espresso over there.
It's not coffee. It's actually, yes, espresso. You say espresso.
Espresso.
With an X. It's espresso.
Espresso. Espresso.
I got that new machine, and yeah, this is good. This brings me
back. Coffee's life.
Cheers. This, I don't know, just fills my soul.
I know. I know for the coffee drinkers that listen, us are like, yes, melts my heart.
Yes, that is the birth of Kennedy with coffee.
It's like the first thing you think about when I wake up in the morning is getting to that coffee.
Me too. I actually, until I have my coffee, like, don't talk to me. Because I need coffee. I need to, like, shake off the...
Yeah. You can also do what I do, jump in a cold shower.
No.
For four minutes every morning.
That's your thing, not my thing.
Why is that?
I don't know. Never say never, but at this point in time, I'm not going to commit because I don't like to say I'm going to do things and then
you
don't
might try
do them.
It one day.
Yes, I hard? Might try it one day.
Yeah, it's hard. It is what it is. It's hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to say
it's a mental battle.
I do enough. I feel good with the things that I push myself to do at this
Nothing
point.
Wrong with that.
Going to work out when it's pouring rain.
Yeah. Working Cold. Out when you don't want to work out. Like, that was me on Saturday. I got, like, lazy a little bit. And I snapped out of it. And I, hold up. Get out of that. Let's go.
You know what I felt Saturday? Heaviness. I was at my workout. I went. But it was, I felt just heavy. My legs felt like lead. Like, bonk, bonk.
I know that. I hate that feeling. I know what you mean.
And it, like, I couldn't shake it.
I'd be jump roping. I'd be like, damn, why do I feel like I ain't got no bounce? Like, it's a struggle. And yesterday, I felt light on my feet. I felt totally. The day I don't want, it's always the days I don't want to work out. I wonder what I have to look into why that is. The days you don't want to work out, and then you go and you have the best workouts. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Something turns on.
Yeah.
I have noticed, you know what I never had before, or I was never in tune with it before, I should say. I have another gear that clicks on sometimes, even when it shouldn't. When you'd think, like, I'm at the end of my workout,
I
should be
you mean.
Powering down.
Yep.
I shift into this other gear where suddenly I can go faster, I can go longer, I can keep going.
I get like that towards the end of my classes sometimes.
Oh, I love it.
I hit like a second win. I could do another one.
Yeah, I love that feeling. Dude. That's what I want to tap into for the next dry try that I do.
Yeah.
I want to tap into that.
Yeah, when you hit that second gear, it's the best. It's like runner's high. It used to take me about 2 miles. And then my lungs are finally open. Then I'm relaxing like, oh, yeah, and I can go forever. Nah.
It's funny because I think sometimes people might think, okay, so if you don't want to lose weight and you're happy with your body and you just do your routine and you've got it all nailed down, then what? Like, then there's like nothing to work on. There's always something to work
always.
On.
Always. Always. You can improve in flexibility, balance, strength, something. There's always something.
Yeah, there's always something that you can create little goals and strive for better, strive for more. So you're never bored. You just have to truly learn to embrace and love the process and love the lifestyle that you're creating.
Yeah.
And then it's just, ooh, now what can I do?
Yeah. And think about it like this too. This is what I'd be thinking about. I think of my body like a machine, and I know I can, I want to push this machine harder. You know what I mean? Because I know there's other levels.
Yeah, for sure. But I have felt that a few times lately on the treadmill specifically. And it was ever since, if you're regular listeners, then you'll remember a few episodes back, Alyssa told me I could do more, remember?
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've had that in my head, like, push harder, do more during the workouts. And it's during some of those workouts that I feel that other gear click on.
I always tell myself, too, when I hit that another gear, like that push, the one that's hard that a lot of people don't like to go to. Sometimes it's a dark place you got to go to. But when you get there, man, it's the best because it is hard to get there.
Yeah, but
you know
it's
what
a
I'm
great
saying?
Feeling.
You know, when
it's
you're doing
rewarding.
those your dry tries, you have to put yourself to another level mentally.
Right.
Sometimes you got to go a little dark, a little sinister. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I need to get that second gear is something special.
It is. But you got to get there. You know what I mean?
Man.
It doesn't automatically just kick in. You got to get to that next level.
Yes. Yes.
Open those lungs up.
But there's always something to work on. Just remember that, you guys, for sure.
Exactly.
Okay, I have to start off this episode with a little bit of an apology. I listened back. I don't know if you listened to our last episode, but I listened to it. And then I really had to think about it. I was grumpy. I was really grumpy in that episode.
Really?
I felt it was, and it was at an off time. Remember, we did an afternoon.
Yeah.
I know why I was grumpy, because I didn't sleep very well a couple nights because of Phoebe was waking me up.
Oh, remember? That's right. Yeah.
But I definitely was grumpy. I was just grumpy. I don't know. I just felt like, ooh, I'm grumpy. And it was so funny because I actually had.
That's good. You can admit that to yourself and laugh about it.
Yeah. And I laughed about it when I listened to it on the way into Orange Theory. It was at the second half where I felt like I was just grumpy and not making much sense. But, and it was ironically someone that DMs me often, a former client. I've worked with her. We've had many conversations. She DM'd me today. She was like, hey, I just want to apologize if it's ever me that's bothering you when I send a DM. And I need to make it clear. I don't think I made it clear. I was extra grumpy. And when I'm grumpy, I'm just more venting a lot of times. But if I converse with you, like we go back and forth, I answer your questions, I give you links, I do not have a problem with you. The people that irritate me, they don't get a response from me. That's what they get. They get put on ignore and delete. If I accept the message into my primary and I respond to those messages, I'm not talking to you guys. Because I felt bad. I'm like, oh my God. She goes, I just want to apologize. I don't want to be one of those annoying people. I was like, oh my God, no. I'm not talking about the people that I actually converse with. I appreciate when people interact with my content.
Yes.
That's what I do this for. Yes. Questions and giving you link, using my links. That's all helping me. If you want a link, you're going to, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
I'm talking about a lot of the haters on TikTok that they'll see, I don't know, a post and be like, oh, she doesn't want to put the, you know, she doesn't want to say the brand because
people think they're special on TikTok, like there's something special.
But irregardless of that, I was also grumpy in the episode. So I was venting more than I typically would.
I got you.
You know
so
what
people
I mean?
Took it like, whoa.
So I just in case, I don't know if people took it, like I just got one message, but in case you are out there and thinking that it was directed towards you, I promise you, if you're a regular consumer of my content and a podcast listener, it wasn't directed towards you. And if I'm engaging with you, it is not you.
You said it's mostly people. TikTokers.
Yeah, but even some DMs I get, but I don't reply. When I'm irritated with a comment, I do not reply.
Yeah.
I just
delete
it.
Ghost.
When someone annoys me.
See ya. Yep.
But then I don't want people to think, oh, I've messaged you and I haven't replied. Because sometimes I miss messages altogether. But of course. Have tried to get better. I have tried to get better with my DMs. I made that commitment a while back and I've gotten better. So I do reply to the ones that are asking me good questions. But anyways, I was grumpy though.
Yeah. When you're tired, you can only hide it. Your body's grumpy. It's just the way you were feeling. It's nothing towards anybody. It's just you're tired. When you're sleep deprived, that's what happens.
Yeah. Didn't I go?
And I think most of society's walking around grumpy because they're sleep deprived.
It's just
natural. You don't feel good when you're sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. Nobody does. Look, your son just got home from Vegas on 3 hours of sleep, drinking all weekend. He's sleep deprived. He's donezo. That's it.
Yeah. But I know. He's like, I feel okay. I'm like, no, you don't.
No. Nope.
You need to go crash out.
Soon. Yeah, go crash
out. Just give into it and crash out because.
Make it a lazy day. Hydrate and crash out.
Yeah, because you can't.
The body wants to sleep.
You can't beat it.
No.
It'll get you. Even that one day a couple weeks ago when I went to the concert the night before and I still got up and I still did all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hit a wall and I had to, I'm tapping out.
We only got so much in our energy tanks from working out to working to errands to whatever it is you do on a daily basis. You only have so much in your energy bank. A lot of our energy, me and you use, not a lot, we use a significant amount is working out because we work out hard.
Working out. And then for me, my brain.
And you
work.
Yeah, work.
Just like working. Brain, I feel like my brain. People don't realize that brain work also takes energy, even though you're
big
sedentary.
Time.
It takes a lot of energy. There's a lot of energy in the brain.
Like for example, I remember they did a study or something on some people playing chess. They put some meters on them. They burn a lot of calories.
They do.
Because you're using your brain like crazy.
Yeah.
You're sitting down though. How's that possible? It'd be a way.
The stress and the fluctuations in the heart rate and all of that.
Yeah. It blew me away. I was like, no way. And they're like, yeah.
No, I could see that for sure. Speaking of Tyler coming back, so he just came back from Vegas on a bachelor party. And it made me think...
Your son?
Yeah. He's my son, by the way. He's not on social media ever because he never lets me post about him or anything. But it made me think of all of the like events with bachelor parties and all of that, and like when getting married. Like, there's a lot of events and commitments to that kind of stuff.
Yes, there is.
Like, he just came back from a bachelor party, which we'll get into. That's one of the things that I want to talk about. But first of all, there's what I've noticed in trends. It's more so than it used to be. Now there are like engagement day parties. What I mean by that is people throw huge parties on the and do a surprise engagements. So they'll say, you're going to propose to me. So you take me to a restaurant and you propose. And then after the proposal, all like the party starts and there's 50 people there. There's a big party. Yeah.
What happens if you say no?
Well, I know. Ooh. But so like now there's that, right? So there's the engagement day of engagement party.
Okay. So that's more money.
Then there's the actual engagement party, like an engagement, like to announce the engagement to the world or whatever. Like it's a full blown mini wedding. I kid you not. My brother and his first wife had one.
Dude, for real?
Okay. It gets even more. Then there's bridal shower. Okay, obviously. There's like a bridal shower.
I never understood that. What is that? But explain that to me.
Bridal shower is when they give gifts to the bride, like for their wedding, for like you register and you get wedding type gifts. Okay. Things
like a baby shower type.
Yeah, sometimes you get like lingerie and stuff like that too. But sometimes you get gifts. You register.
Yes.
But then those started becoming like, it used to be a women only thing, but then those started being co-ed. So then there's
just
the big
like baby showers, co-ed.
Okay, so then there's that.
Don't drag us.
Then
into this.
There's the say yes to the dress party. So like you, when you're going to pick your wedding dress, you bring like your bridal party and then you have a little party, an event around saying yes to the dress, saying like picking your wedding dress. It's too much.
Here's the deal. Here's my opinion. I'm glad we didn't have to go through that because it would have been no engagement or wedding, none of that bullshit. But it's a show, okay? And I feel like these, and I'm just put it out there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like these shows don't last. It's just a show. You put on a grand show. Look at these. It's a show. It's a fiasco. You're spending. You're already in the negative, and you're going into a marriage.
It's just a
negative,
lot.
Negative.
I can understand
financially. I'm just
something.
Little things,
but not all the things.
Why?
I know that just for those of you guys who don't know, when we got engaged. We were planning a wedding. We were going to have a small wedding. You'd never been married, but we were looking into some venues, and I just really didn't want to plan a wedding. I was just, it's just not in my wheelhouse. So I looked to my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, who loves party planning and stuff like that, and I said, hey, can you help me? Because I don't even know where to begin, but I want something small, simple. It's going to be close friends and family, not super expensive. So what are my options? Whatever. So she's, oh, yes, super excited. We wanted to do it in, I don't know, maybe like 6 months. From there. And then she sends me an email with a spreadsheet attached. And she like texts me saying, hey, did you take a look at the spreadsheet? I hadn't had a chance to take a look at it. I open up the spreadsheet and had a panic attack. But it had all of this on there. It had say yes to the dress and favor making party. And what do you want to do for the favors? And what are the colors? And the this and then that. And the flowers and the balloons and the balloon arch. And I had a panic attack.
Wow.
I literally felt bad because I've been married before, by the way. Mike's never been married. No kids, like never done this before. So I felt a little bad, but I had a full-blown panic attack.
Trust
and I remember I walked into the TV room. You were sitting in there and I said, babe, I have a question. I have a serious question to ask you. I said, do you want a wedding or do you just want to get married? And you said, oh, I want whatever you want. I said, okay, because I just want to be married. I don't want a wedding. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I was so happy when you're like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. Whatever.
See,
I, like,
simple.
It was like a dream. I was so happy. And you guys, and you know what we did? We were already going to Vegas. A month later, we were going to Vegas. We already had it planned. And so
we have a lot of friends already there. We're already going there.
Yeah, so we just decided that we would get married on that weekend. So we let our friends know, hey, you can go, you don't have to go, but we're going to get married and this is what we're going to do. They were all excited about it.
Yeah.
They all went. It was actually a pretty cool, our wedding. I'm going to maybe post up some pictures here for you guys to see. So then we got married that way. But here's the thing, like it was a true elopement because in order to do that, you can't even then go, okay, now let's do it in Vegas. Now, okay, I'm going to invite this person, but then we got to invite this person and that person. And I didn't do that. I disappointed a lot of people. But what I did was, hey, this is a true elopement. So we're going to do it on that trip. Only the people who are already on that trip are going. And that's that.
Yeah.
And so that it didn't open it up to a lot of hoopla, right?
Yes.
So it was weird. It was actually crazy. I didn't tell anybody. Only my sister, right before we left, I told her. And so they did a live stream from the chapel, and everyone happened to be at her house for my nephew's birthday that weekend. So she goes, by the way, you guys, we're going to watch the live stream. Janine's in Vegas getting married.
Your family must have been tripping.
It's just such a me thing to do, though.
But I think even my own mother watched the live
stream. She did. Yeah. We had some family watch the live stream.
Yeah.
And then we just had we had a great weekend. It was so much fun.
After that, we partied. We had tables and bottle service all over Vegas that weekend.
I got my dress at Hot Miami Styles. It was I get so many compliments on the dress. Like when people see it in photos, I'm like, oh my God, your dress was beautiful. I'm like, $39, Hot Miami Styles.
But see, but here we are. What are we going on? Year nine?
Definitely? Nine.
Okay. So we didn't have a $100,000 wedding or whatever these people spend, this big old event. A lot of those people that went through all that, a lot of it, boom. Because really for the show, that's what I'm saying. You asked me, do you want a wedding? Do you want to get married? I just want to be married.
Like, I wanted to be married.
That's it.
I wanted to be married to you, but I didn't want to go through the hoopla of a wedding. So I just wanted to skip over that.
Yeah, I didn't care for
that.
I felt bad about your family. I don't know if they were traditional. They wanted us to get married.
I'm sure there were some hurt feelings. Yeah. Yes, 100%. I'm sure.
You grew up Catholic.
Look, Lisa didn't go. My sister didn't go. Nobody. Yeah. Were there hurt feelings? Sure, but I still don't regret it. Nah. I would do it over again.
Guess what? Those hurt feelings don't matter. It's about me and you. It ain't about other people's feelings. So
I had plenty of trips and things after that and before that with those people with us together. Yeah. That was
our day. That was our day, period.
But so because it was of all of that hoopla and stuff. And look, when I had my babies too, I didn't go do all that hoopla. Yes, I had a baby shower. That's it. I did not have a gender reveal and a welcome home party and then welcome to the world, a names day party. They have a million parties.
People, you guys got to rethink your life. You're just throwing away money. We ain't rich. America's, you know what I'm saying? Stop throwing away your money. Save it because you're going to look back like, oh my God, I spent it. Don't do it for a show. Don't put on people.
Like I said, I see some of the things. Like I know Alyssa's going to want to do some things.
Baby showers,
she's not going to do an engagement, the day of engagement party, then an engagement announcement party, and then a million parties. I just don't see it.
It just gets silly, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Some people just love to throw parties and love to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. So it's to each their own. It's okay if you have a different opinion, you guys. That's what makes the world go round. And
exactly.
I don't dislike you if you have a different opinion. Look at my sister-in-law. I love my sister-in-law. The girl will celebrate. She'll throw a party for a loose tooth if she could.
Yes. Whose dog's birthday is it? Throw a party for the dog. Oh, whose kid's birthday?
Yeah. What's the plan for Veterans Day?
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo weekend. What's the plan this weekend?
Anyways, is there a party at their house? You're listening, Lorena. I'm sorry. You are the one who drove me to elopement.
That's funny. We just ain't that way.
Anyways, also, and I didn't even, and then there was, after the say yes to the dress, there's bachelor parties. We didn't do that either. Mm-mm. We didn't do that either.
Nope.
No bachelorette. Now, we were with our friends partying before we got married, the day or two before the wedding, still in Vegas, but we stayed together and we partied together.
Yeah.
And Tyler just came back from a bachelor party that was a joint bachelor party. I'm like, are people getting smarter now?
What's all about this joint stuff?
Joint
baby shower. I went to one years ago.
Talking about baby shower now. I'm talking about the bachelor party.
I know.
About opinions on the bachelor party. Are people getting smarter now and doing? I think it's smart. Listen, if you are like dying for your bachelorette party or your bachelor party, stop and rethink whether you want to get married or not.
Yeah.
That's a little bit. That's a little bit of that. It because if you're really excited, like really want this like crazy bachelorette party or bachelor party, then you got to maybe stop and think, do you really want to get married? Or doesn't one big crazy party with all the guys and all the girls, does that not sound just as fun? Because why do they not want to do it? Why do they want to do it joint? It's because somebody in the group, not always the bachelor, but the bachelor's friends want the bachelor and themselves to do dirt, and vice versa, bachelorettes too.
Yeah.
I think it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
I've seen many. Listen, I've been the girl at many a bachelor parties, not just so happened to be like 10 bachelor parties. Mm-hmm. Right? Uh-huh. And there
what
was
did you see?
Never
things,
it's
things
never
that shouldn't
all
happen.
Kosher.
Yeah.
Never. 100% of the time there has been something that shouldn't be going down. Yeah.
There's not a good, listen, as a man, and I'm talking to you, man, it's not a good idea. You young guys, I'll let your boy suck you in a bachelor party and get you a hooker, sleep with it, and think that's not going to bite you in the ass and no one's going to say nothing. It's going to come out. You're going to have beef with somebody in that group and somebody's going to spill the beans or they're just going to talk. Don't do it. It's just a bad way of going into a marriage. You already
commit
adultery before you even get married. That's just a bad thing.
I just think it opens a can of worms for a lot of problems. So I know there was, I want to try to say this story without saying names, but it's before our time. So it's not, so for anyone trying to figure out who it is, it's before you and my time. Mm-hmm. But there was a bachelor party that went, so we know the bachelor party that went on a cruise, and there was a bachelorette party they met on the cruise, and lots of shenanigans went down. One of the guys in the bachelor party hooked up with the bachelorette on that cruise, and it blew
up. So these two people are supposed to be getting married?
Yeah, separately. They don't know each other before the cruise. Separately. They go on the cruise. Uh-huh. They hook up. Blew up. The fiance found out. It blew up her marriage. The whole wedding went out the door.
The chick?
It never happened. Yeah.
What about the dude? Did he get exposed?
He is married.
Oh. Still to
and
this
he
day?
Did get exposed, but no, they're no longer married.
Oh.
It did get exposed. Oh. But it didn't cause the divorce right away. But it was in that and that's not uncommon.
No,
I'm just saying I have at least 10 more stories behind that.
I even hear stories of the bachelor will hook up with someone in the group of girls supposed to. What'd you call it, the bachelorette party?
Oh,
like a bridesmaid.
You hear one of the bridesmaids.
Yeah, you hear
I've seen a lot of movies that way. Yeah,
you hear a lot of that too.
But what I'm saying is, I think it's a good idea. What Tyler's friends did
is
they
good.
Did a joint. I'm like, that's smart.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
that's, you can have a lot of fun. She brings all her girlfriends, you bring all your guy friends, and you don't have to be joined at the hip.
No.
You could do a little sub separate stuff, but I think all in all, if it's like a joint trip, I think that's a good idea. It was funny because we didn't really touch upon the conversation too much, but Lisa was like, oh god, I don't, how boring, like that they did a joint one. So she was anti. I'd like to hear her opinion, but it was at Orange Theory. I didn't get a chance to talk to her about it, but some people think you should do the full blown.
It's going to cost less problems. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, it's going to keep you in check if you're partying with your future wife instead of you out there with your boys getting into shenanigans you shouldn't be getting into.
Yeah.
Then you go to the strip club and then one thing.
It's just all bad. I know that one of the guys on our wedding weekend was trying to get us to separate for you guys to go do a bachelor night or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're too old for that. We're not like 22 getting married.
Yeah, I'm not a little kid trying to chase some kind of high before I get married and do something stupid.
The last fling before the ring or all the stupid sayings that they have.
No, it does not work.
I also don't like all of the sticky, stupid shit, the penis straws and the pin the penis on the donkey and all the stupid stuff.
No, it's not for me. I'm sorry.
I did have a bachelorette party, my first wedding. And I was mortified, by the way. They did get a stripper. I did not want any of that. I was so young. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There was a stripper, and he came with another guy. So it was like two strippers. And I thought they weren't allowed to touch. And they touched. He got like on top of me on the chair. I was so uncomfortable. I did not enjoy it.
No.
I was just, that's not my... That was old school when you didn't go on trips. This is 20 gazillion years ago. You don't go on trips. You just have those parties with strippers. That I would never want to do. Now, going on a little girl's trip to Cabo, but not, I just feel like when you add that bachelorette component or whatever, some people feel like that means we need to go incorporate guys or do something for the last time.
You know what I was going to say? That's something came in my mind right now. Okay, so you do a bachelor party. I don't think your fiance would be cool. Just to say a normal chick, you're at the club, a normal chick just jumps on you like she's doing a strip dance on you. Just a normal girl, a random girl you don't know.
Right.
Nothing happens, but she's all over.
Yeah.
But then, okay, then we fast forward. All right, we're going to get you a stripper. She's a professional entertainer, dancer.
And then
she's practically down there naked, maybe a G-string, a little top. And she's not only all over your body, but putting her breasts in your face and motorboarding you. Is that okay? Is that allowable? Would that be allowable? I'm just asking in your opinion.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't feel like
so the first one wouldn't fly, so the second one doesn't give you a pass. Either. But that's what happens when you do this bachelor party. They always get a stripper, and the strippers get extra wild with the bachelor because they know they're really not going to try to do anything, you know.
That's what I'm
saying.
They
almost want to seduce them to see if they can do something, like a challenge.
Yeah, so, I know is that one time, this is many years ago, so you definitely won't be able to figure out who these people are. But this particular, my friend, her husband-to-be had a bachelor party, and she found after the bachelor party, and it was in their apartment, the bachelor party.
Yeah.
After the party, in her master bathroom, she found red hair in her shower.
Whoa.
Yeah. And the stripper had that fiery, like, stripper red hair.
Whoa.
How do you explain that one? They had another bathroom down the hall. Why was there stripper hair in her bathroom? I don't know.
That's a tough one.
That's all I gotta say.
A lot of guys get busted that way. Like, say you, same thing. You come home and you see blonde hair in the shower. You have black hair.
Wallace has blonde hair, but yeah.
If we lived alone, I'm just making an example. No, I got a friend. Sure. I got a friend of mine. I'm gonna expose him, but he got caught that way.
Oh, he did.
You know who he is. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I ain't gonna say nothing. Yep, chick saw hair of another woman in the shower.
Oh my gosh! See. You guys, I don't know. So let me circle back here. I'm not saying I don't think that you can never go on a girl's trip or with your girlfriends or with your guy friends and do that kind of stuff. I'm talking about specifically the pressures and the connotation about bachelorette parties, because there's a lot of peer pressure that happens.
There is.
It's just a weird, different feeling. So I'm not saying I believe that you should be joined at the hip and never do separate trips or whatever. Not at all. But I'm talking specifically about the debauchery. I'm just saying statistically, in my opinion, in my experience, it never goes well.
Yeah. It leads to trouble.
A lot of things people don't find out. You don't always find out.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot. And I'm just saying.
I don't like that peer pressure shit either. Let's go strip club. Let's do this. No. You go get yourself in trouble, bro. You know what I'm saying? Don't try and mess me up.
A lot of times, though, when people... they want to do dirt, so say they're married, but they're on this trip. Because isn't it funny that all of a sudden, all of these guys want to go, and they're not even super close with the groom, but they want any chance to go on a bachelor party, right?
Of course.
But if they do dirt, they want to make sure that someone else does dirt, too. Because that's how they protect their secret.
Yep. They have dirt on each other.
You have to have dirt on each other.
Yes.
To protect the secret.
I'm cool. Don't do no dirt. Don't have no secret to protect.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Okay, moving on, though, from that. How about thoughts on prenuptial agreements?
I'm all for it. 1,000,000%. Because if I brought my whole fortune with me, I'm just going to make an example. I meet a girl. I'm just throwing it out there. She just has a regular 9-to-5 job, making ends meet. She's surviving. I come in with, I'm a billionaire. I'm just throwing it out there. And we date. She knows I have money and fall in love. And I'm like, okay, I think she wants to marry me for me, but I have to protect myself because my team, my lawyer's going to tell me you must get a prenup. You have to because you came in with, this is all yours you built. Mm-hmm. She didn't help you build this. Now, what should be in the prenup, if a marriage lasts X amount of years, mm-hmm. she should get a something, mm-hmm. some type of monetary something.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
She's earned it, in my opinion.
I think it's interesting that you point that out because no one ever talks about that. Everyone always just says, oh, sign a prenup. And then someone's like, well, you sign it. And then there's all this animosity about the prenup.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about, let's talk about what's in the prenup.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's, you get nothing.
Yes.
They get everything. It just means that you are agreeing while you actually love each other, you're coming to an agreement of what you think is fair. Yes. Because do you think it's a good time to figure out what's fair when you're going through the divorce? That's not a good time because you're not happy. It's a good time to come together while you love each other and think, okay, if in the case of a divorce, what's fair? You're much more clear-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
But a prenup doesn't always necessarily mean that it favors one person or the other, or that someone gets nothing.
Yes. Don't put it in there like a 5 years, you get this much.
Yeah,
10 years, you get this much. 15 years, you get this much. 20 years, you've earned it.
Or I would recommend like different clauses and different, depending on the relationship, just like what, based on what your family plan is going to be. If you have, if you're the billionaire running an empire and you're going to want your wife to stay home and raise kids.
Yes.
She's got to have
compensated. That's a job.
Protection in there. That's almost like she's got to have an annual salary as the CEO of the family,
yes,
baked in for every year that she serves as the CEO of the family.
Yes, it's true.
You know what I mean? So there's
I
got
to give it to
things.
You guys. It's not easy running a household. Groceries, cleaning, kids,
it's hard.
Dogs, a lot of stuff.
Especially if you have a super rich husband or something like that where they're busy all the time and they're not really part of it. But even regardless, even like just regular old Joe's, I just think
I just do an example out there.
It's not a bad idea. I'm not anti. I've never had a prenup, FYI. We don't have one. I never have one with the first marriage. I never had any issues. I didn't have any issues with my ex. We were very fair. But when I feel like when somebody has something coming in, like some significant fortune or assets or other kids or something like that, to protect, it's a must. It's a must to have that. But I also believe that.
So you're for it too?
Yes, I'm 100% for it. So, but I don't believe that it means that. I also don't believe in this. So I want to be clear. Oh, what I earn is mine and what you earn is yours. And then we just take what's ours when we leave. The lines get very blurred when you're together for 5, 10, 15 years on what's yours is yours. Because
that's
that might be yours, but I helped you get that because I did all of these things. So I believe that, yes, I believe in prenups, but I believe it's a conversation and it's a legal conversation that has to happen with two attorneys to help you to figure out what's fair for you. And everybody is different. I know everyone has all these opinions all the time, outside opinions and stuff. But for example,
we know somebody that didn't want to sign a prenup.
Yeah, but it's like she didn't
thought she was entitled to his fortune. No, you were not, sweetheart. Just because you got a, I ain't going to get deep into it, but you know.
Yeah. Anyways, we don't want to reveal too much. But I also want to say that Teresa from Real Housewives, let's take it back to the Housewives references so we don't get ourselves in trouble. She didn't sign a prenup with her current husband, Louis. And I'm going to put it out
Idiot.
I'm going to put it out there right now.
Dumb.
My gut tells me this guy is a problem. And I like her. I felt bad. I feel bad because I feel like she's just gotten bamboozled by someone who's really manipulative. You have four children. She has four children. That means that now she's got to share her assets with him as well.
But before they were married, all that is hers though, right? Before the marriage. Everything. That money, everything, right?
I don't know. It depends on the state laws, and I don't know what they are in New Jersey.
Okay. I'm just curious if it's okay. So, okay, let's just say she didn't sign a prenup. She's with this dude 2-3 years. It blows up with her friends. He's only going to get whatever it is from that couple year mark, right? He's not entitled to what she's already built.
I don't know. She's crazy. The lines get blurred, and this is how the lines get blurred. She built a lot, right? So they bought a house together. What did she use to buy the house? Money that she built from previous, but now it's blurred. Now it's in the bucket of marriage money.
Yeah.
Her half of that house. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the prenup protects you from. So even it's not as cut and dry as, oh, I earned this much. Because then once you're married, you start spending what you've earned already that should be protected on current assets. You buy the vacation home. You buy the house in the Hamptons. Now it's all blurry.
Yeah. Unless you're smart and put things in her kids, like a trust, and put in her kids' names. I know you're protective. You do things like
that. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
But she's come out and very adamantly said, I did not do a prenup. I didn't do any of that. She trusts him 1,000%.
Crazy. Because what do you always say? Everybody's always on their best behavior when they're happy, things go good. You don't really see what a person's capable of to see that ugly side, to go to that place. Then you're like, whoa. They'll flip the whole script on you. They'll turn into something you never thought they were, to a monster. So you got to be careful. When it comes to money, too, people get ugly.
Ugly.
People kill each other.
It brings out the absolute ugliness.
The worst in humanity. The worst in human beings. It breaks up families. Family members kill each other over money. It's crazy.
It's so crazy. All right. That's the love and marriage. Love and marriage.
Love and marriage.
Oh, that's that. Really quick, I'm going to touch on a topic, but something I definitely want to go into more. There's a book that you and I are going to read so that we can talk more about this. But I was listening to Tony Robbins on a podcast this morning, and I was like fascinated by this whole epigenetic testing of your epigenetic age. Mm-hmm. So basically, epigenetic age is based on your actual age, based on what's going on with your cells currently versus what your real age is. So yeah. Tony Robbins, he's 62, and his epigenetic age is 51 because he does a lot of these things, these biohacking to be younger.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much technology and so many things right now being tested in clinical trials by the FDA for medication. It's actually going to be medication by the FDA, so not supplementation, but that turns back the clock or slows down the clock.
Cell aging. That's why we age, because our cells.
Yes, that's the key. Mm-hmm. And there's also, it was also fascinating to me because how he described it is a lot of people just think it's in my DNA. So I'm predestined. I have this plan, this DNA. And this is what's going to happen to me in my life. So if I'm born with, I'm going to get cancer at some point in my life. It's all part of my DNA. People believe that.
Yeah.
But what he was discussing and what's been studied and what's being realized now is that what's in our DNA is like a program, but not all of those things get unlocked. And some things can stay dormant and some things can get unlocked. And that's what this medication and different things are helping to, like you always say, like maybe cancer's chasing me because I have a lot of cancer in my family.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I probably have some cancer in my DNA.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that I can't do things, that I don't have some control to keep them on lock.
Yes, keep them at bay.
And a lot of these things, these medications, these supplementations that actually people are taking, like things like resveratrol, something called NMN, there's things that are very close. Like, this is not like 20 years from now. We're talking like in the next 18 months.
Crazy.
Stuff is going to be
I always tell you this. We're advancing so, we're at a point in history and in life, we're advancing so fast that, what do we just say? Pretty soon, people are our age, 48, 47, they're going to look like they're in their 20s.
In
the future.
And that's already happening. Just don't realize it. It is already happening.
People, when we were growing up, in our age group, the same age, I was growing up, looked like they had 1 foot in, 1 foot out the ground. Go back and research in the 70s, 80s.
So it's just that we kind of get used to it. Like now, maybe I'm 47. I know that maybe 30 years ago, a 47-year-old didn't look like I looked.
No.
It's already happening, but it's going to happen even more. So to the point where you're 80 and you look 60.
Yes.
And that's the norm. It's already happening. There are some 80-year-olds that look
Go on YouTube and see how many fit people were 50 in these days. It'll blow your mind away.
Constant with all of those people is they're movers. They move. They exercise.
Movers.
Exercise is really one of the things that unlocks the fountain of youth for sure. But one of the words he used specifically was, it's called sirtuins. And basically sirtuins are what determines what gets turned on in your DNA.
Interesting.
And it was just fascinating stuff. But anyways, he wrote a book. It's just about longevity, living longer, but not only living longer, because who wants to live longer and be a decrepit old person?
I don't.
What I want to do is I want to
live till my life is still quality and I'm coherent. After that, you got to wipe my face and I'm gone.
Other thing he was talking about is they're working to have aging being recognized as a disease. that can be medicated. Let's medicate for aging. Let's come develop medications that can be prescribed to prevent aging. So that's what they're working. That's the current.
So let me ask you this. So for, let's just say humanity can get to live to 100 and look like 80-year-olds. You'll be able to live longer?
Yeah.
Because even internally, your organs is my question.
Yeah, because even though it's cellular. Everything is based on the cellular level. So if they can prevent cellular aging, your organs stay working longer, everything.
Because that's your power source.
Cellular also, of course, your appearance, but more so than your appearance, it's
the organs.
And the energy development. It all boils down to your body being able to continue to produce energy.
Yes, and you have to keep moving. It's the only way. You cannot negate that at all. You have to move. We talked about
So there's something called NMN that people are already supplementing with. NMN and resveratrol. And then he said another literal anti-aging drug that's already on the market, but is a diabetes drug, metformin, that's prescribed for diabetes, has anti-aging properties. And some doctors, as long as they buy into that, they're more new wave doctors, they will prescribe it off-label for anti-aging.
Yeah.
Even though it's really a diabetes drug and it's not FDA approved for anti-aging, because anti-aging is not considered a disease. It's very similar to how Ozempic is now FDA approved for weight loss, because finally the FDA is recognizing obesity as a disease. That was huge. That means now that FDA is recognizing obesity as a disease, you're going to see a lot more medications and development.
They didn't used
that.
To?
No, it was
I
not.
I didn't know that.
It was not recognized as like a disease.
Wow.
So now there is a big push to recognize aging as a disease. And then so there'll be medications and prescriptions regarding that. But anyways, fascinating stuff. I love the whole longevity stuff. It really goes hand in hand with having a healthy lifestyle and supplementation. And
yes, you got to do it all though.
But there's a book, and I can't remember the name of the book right now, but it's the latest book from Tim Robbins. I'll pop it up on the screen for the YouTubers, but read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to put it on your Kindle too. So you
do you
can
know
read
about
it.
That dude? Me and your son were talking about it. He's like I think he's a tech billionaire. He's got a lot of money. He's doing all kinds of stuff to himself to reverse aging, spending like millions of dollars.
Supposedly, was he on Joe Rogan's podcast?
He's like 30-something years old, and they say his body's almost like an 18-year-old again. God, I wish I had the story.
Oh, yeah, they do, because you can get your epigenetic age test.
He's doing crazy stuff. Like, man, just I don't know exactly his regimen, but he's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so these sirtuin things, they turn off and on genes in your DNA. So it just means that you just because you have the DNA for something doesn't mean you're automatically the sirtuins will turn keep things off that need to stay off and turn things on that need to come on. And they directly affect the mitochondria and inflammatory markers in our bodies. Inflammatory markers, that's direct correlation to why we get diseases and what flicks the disease stuff on in our DNA.
Ah, interesting.
Really important. It keeps our DNA nice and clean and only turns on the good things.
Yeah.
So these sirtuins are something that goes, as you get older, they diminish drastically. Like by the time you're 50, you lose 50%. So all the medications and things that are in the FDA being clinical trials right now is how to boost that in our 50s and 60s, because that right there will keep us young.
Interesting. Yeah. This is cool stuff, man. It's nerdy stuff, but it's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little nerdy, but it's okay.
It's important, though.
Look, you know why I like it, you guys? Because this is the now. Yes. I'm not talking about something, maybe in 20 years. 20 years? I'm going to be 67, okay? It's the now. He was saying that this is something we're going to see within the next 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
And
excited?
I'm excited.
We're only here once.
It's nice to know there's hope. There's hope. It just, before we switch topics, just like this is a very good example of my son. He doesn't listen, so he's not going to be mad for me sharing this, I don't think. But he is predisposed to baldness in my family. He started losing his hair in high school. His hairline, very thin hair. He started to lose it, and he knew he was going to lose it because my nephews are bald. My dad's bald, so he knew it was coming. rather than just lay over and play dead and say, my DNA says I'm going to be bald, so I'm going to shave my head. It is what it is. No, he researched and he got in front of it. And this is the type of science that he's doing. He's no, instead of just rolling over and accepting it, I'm thinking, how can I get in front of it and prevent it from happening? Is there anything? Yeah. Is there any technology? Is there? And yes, there was. There's prescription medication. There's a procedure that he does daily. There's a topical that he uses daily. He now has a thick, long, dense head yes. of hair.
Yeah, you would never know.
He completely reverse. He would. He's 25, almost 26.
Because
my dad was
fully
bald at 25. They were fully balding by 25.
Damn, that's
fully
crazy.
Balding. He was already balding a few years back, but he stopped it and reversed. The key on those things, though, is you got to get in front of it. But this is exactly
what it
is.
You can't wait. It's too late.
It's epigenetic stuff.
Because once it's gone, that's it. It's going to be hard to save
it. It's harder.
Yes.
So it's all based on this type of stuff. It's new technology. Wow. But people don't know it's out there. That's why I did that podcast. And if you didn't listen to it, I'll link it here. I literally have my hairdresser is a hair loss specialist specializing in epigenetics. She's got a doctor on staff. And all of the things she's doing in her salon are all of the things Tyler's doing, but that Tyler's been doing already for a few years.
Wow. So your son's kind of like...
He was on it. She's all, yeah, that's it. That's all the right stuff. And the results don't lie. I just blow dried his hair for him the other day. I'm like, Tyler, your hair is thick.
That's
it's
good.
It's thick and wavy and
Saved
looks so
it.
Good.
Yeah. Good for
but
him.
But this is the kind of stuff
You're doing
that's
it too,
happening.
Aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. I just started taking the prescription. I'm not doing all the things yet. Next step is the microneedling of the scalp and that. And then eventually exosomes, which
what is microneedling that they
where you create little injuries and then you put the serum on there. So I'm not doing that yet, but gotcha. I am doing the serum and the red light therapy and the prescription. And I have been able to grow back some hair.
That red light works, huh?
Yeah.
It works. You and your son used it.
Yeah, it works good. But it's just all that you have to be open to it. Don't just roll over and play dead and accept things for what they are. There are solutions for things. Okay.
There's hope.
Moving on. We are going to read the book, though, and then we'll talk more about all that longevity stuff. I'm sure we're going to have lots of cool things to share from that. Let's round this off on a fun note, because you know how I always like to talk about how I love to eat bread?
Yes.
Bread is actually significantly in my meal plan next week. I'm going to have sourdough, tuna melt and stuff. So I thought, let's look into like bread and what are the healthiest breads to eat? What are the better ones if you're looking for bread, and which ones should you avoid? Obviously, the reason why they say to avoid like white bread or whatever, part of it is because those are like the cheapest breads. They have the worst ingredients.
Yes.
Sugar, a lot of added sugar, yep. Higher in calorie. But let's talk about some of the ones you should go towards. First of all, fiber in your diet is critical. So it's always a great way to get fiber in is with bread. So if you're going to eat bread, make it have fiber.
Yeah.
Okay. So bread made from whole grains, including whole wheat and sprouted whole grain. The reason for that is because of the way it's made. It makes the nutrients in the bread much more bioavailable. So you're actually getting, not only can you eat bread, when you pick the right breads, they're nutrient dense. People automatically assume that bread is like caca.
No.
Bread has a lot of nutrients, including fiber.
Filling, too.
Sprouted whole grain. I always used to get sprouted whole grain. Like I think that's like the Ezekiel bread. I love the Ezekiel bread.
Yeah.
It's yummy. But the sprouting has actually been shown to increase the amount of certain nutrients.
Oh, wow.
3 times more folate, vitamin critical food. Guess what's another healthy bread? And I'm so happy because I love this bread. Pita. Pita's good for you.
Pita. It's good
yes.
too.
Yes. It's pita bread good. Is good for you. It's very calorie dense. Oh, yeah. It says right here the Ezekiel bread is good.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the sprouted bread, sprouting helps increase the amount of certain nutrients. Breads that are sprouted are also higher in fiber and vitamins, minerals, and they actually have lower carbs a lot of times. So the reason why lower carbs is good is just because of blood sugar control. So if you are, it really only matters if you are having insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes, then you need to watch that. But the sprouted breads are good options for you. But the number two,
that
what I always tell you. What?
I'll stick to my favorite bread.
Is? Sourdough. That's number two. Sourdough.
San Francisco sourdough, baby.
Then sourdough is made through a fermentation process.
Yes.
That relies on naturally occurring yeast. And the fermentation helps reduce certain bad, like minerals and stuff that are in the bread.
True. There's a law in France that requires it 24 hours minimum to ferment. I just read something.
Yeah, because the fermentation process actually makes it healthier.
Yes, better for digestion.
It breaks down some of the carbs.
Yes.
Including the gluten. So if you're gluten, if you're sensitive to gluten, but you can still have gluten, sourdough is your best option because of that fermentation process actually breaks some of that down. It's got the lowest glycemic index of all of bread.
That's crazy. That it has that low.
Yeah, and you know how have you
ever
heard
of... Because I always looked at sourdough like a white bread. And then you told me.
It's not at all. It actually, the fermentation process creates, it turns the carbs into what's called a resistant starch. And so those carbs, when consumed, they don't react the way normal carbs do. So normal carbohydrates, they increase your blood sugar, more insulin. Not good for some people who are like type 2 diabetic or insulin resistant. Also not good if you're someone that, you know... sensitive to cravings, because that whole blood sugar spike and all of that makes you want more, makes you overeat.
Yes.
But sourdough actually doesn't have that effect. So if you're going to go for a bread, sourdough is a really good option. It's actually, it has iron. It's also high in iron and B vitamins.
Yep.
Love me some sourdough bread.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what we do, guys? We get the loaf in the bakery. The San Francisco sourdough. I'm sorry for the people who don't have sourdough. I don't think everybody has access to sourdough, actually.
We'll go to Sprouts to do that. And you ask them at the deli,
they'll slice it. Perfect. They have their bread little slicer. Slices for you. Oh, my gosh, you guys. And just a little bit of butter, toasty.
For your sandwiches.
Game changer.
Yes.
Okay, so the next up, whole wheat. So why whole wheat? It's going to be high in
fiber. Yeah.
Fiber is so important. I don't think people get enough... fiber. There's a gazillion trillion studies on the importance and effects of fiber. Go to PubMed.gov if you don't believe me. Search fiber. Read some studies. You need fiber.
You need it.
Like 30 to 35 grams of fiber a day. I always take FiberWell gummies just to make sure. And I get, sometimes I'll take like 10 grams of fiber just by the gummies just to make sure I'm getting in my fiber.
That's good. Fiber is important.
So it's fortified with iron and B vitamins and just a really good option. Look for breads that have 100% whole wheat and whole grain flour listed as their first ingredient. Because some places they're going to sneak in unnecessary ingredients, large amounts of added sugar or vegetable oils. Pay attention. Also pay attention to the calorie count. Pay attention to your nutrition label. Does this have a lot of fiber? What's the calories look like on this?
What brand of bread you want to eat? I think Dave's is a good brand.
Dave's Killer Bread is a good brand.
Yeah.
Sprouted rye. I do not do gluten-free bread because I don't avoid gluten. But if you are needing to avoid gluten, there are tons of good options now with gluten-free bread. Basically, what you want to choose at the end of the day, try to go with whole grain or sprouted for if you're just going to go for like regular bread. I actually like Chompies whole grain. Because it's fortified with protein.
I haven't heard that one in a long time, Chompies.
Yeah, it's fortified with protein. That's why I like it.
That's a good one, yeah.
And you want to look for 3 to 5 grams of fiber and 3 to 6 grams of protein per slice. That's a good piece of bread.
Yes.
And then low in added sweeteners. Bread doesn't need to have added sweeteners.
Exactly.
Pay attention to that. And the added sweeteners are going to boost up the calorie count too. So it's not going to be as calorie friendly. So pay attention to the label, really. And then you're going to eat bread. That's the bottom line. Enjoy bread.
Yeah, don't vilify. Remember coming up when we came up in the diet culture era, bread and white pastas and this and that, so you debunked it all that. No, it's all about macros.
It's all about...
You can eat pasta, you can eat bread. It's all fake news.
Yeah, and if you are, and here's the thing, why you say it's all about macros and this is so important, because if you are trying to satisfy specific macronutrients, then you automatically, you're looking at the nutrition label of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening magically. You're like, shoot, I'm trying to make sure I get in enough protein. So I'm going to pick, if I'm going to have bread, it's going to have some protein in it or else I'm not going to hit my protein target. So it automatically makes you make better decisions.
Yeah.
Also, for micronutrients, if you know that you need to get in your you need to get in fiber, you're going to pay attention, right? If you're at the store, you're going to be like, oh, I got to get in fiber. So you're going to look at the nutrition label. Okay, good. This bread has protein. This bread has fiber. I'm going to go with this one. You're not going to pick the Bibo white bread that's like 100 calories for slice, tons of sugar, no protein, like no fiber. You're gonna be like, I'm not going to pick that. I'm not going to waste a piece of bread and not get my fiber in.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be like eating this bread and I'm not going to hit my protein goal. That's why it's so important to have these little... these goals that you're working towards, because even without realizing it, you're going to be making better decisions when you're picking food, when you're looking at the nutrition label, because you're trying to hit those targets. And fiber is very important. Your protein is very important. Staying in your calorie intake is very important. Everything else will fall out of that. But you know what? At the end of the day, enjoy the bread. You know what? I'm going to enjoy some sourdough today for sure.
Me too.
Because now that we've talked about it, I'm like...
sandwich.
Craving.
Yep.
Craving my sourdough bread. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, sorry for, what was it, Friday's episode. I was a little grumpy. I love you guys. We all have those days.
Yeah.
But I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank
Make
you,
sure you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
And refer us to all your family, friends, coworkers. Blow us up. I'm trying to blow up.
And enjoy a piece of bread. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next one.